Well, amen. I want to invite you to turn to Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. It's about the middle of your Bible, probably. If you get to Isaiah, you've gone too far. If you're in Proverbs, you're not far enough. And as you turn there, I want to tell you about a couple of things before we dive in. We have an opportunity this summer and this fall to take the gospel beyond Friendswood, League City, Pearland, Alvin, Houston, all that, to a number of places. And so I want to talk to you about them now because it's going to require some prayer on your part, maybe even some saving of some money, those kind of things, and calendaring. We have a couple of opportunities for sure, two, maybe a third. One is this summer, July 12th through 18, to Kelowna, British Columbia, which is kind of in the middle of British Columbia, Canada. If you look at a map and you went straight up from Texas, you need to go to the left. And British Columbia is the westernmost province of British Columbia. Kelowna is about an hour flight from Vancouver, which is on the coast. So we'll be doing a kids camp, working with a church called the Potter's House, a kids camp in VBS during that time. So begin praying about that, if you would be interested in serving in that way. And then in September, we have an opportunity to go to one of the two most populous countries in the world. India and China represent, those two countries together represent about 40% of the total world population in two countries. Both over a billion people with a B, a billion with a B, a B, billion with a B. I'm going to keep my day job as a pastor, not a rapper. And so, you're welcome. And so there, we're going to go and do some evangelism and some hygiene ministry. And so if those two opportunities pique your interest, I would encourage you to pray. We also may have an opportunity to go back to New York, to Long Island, where our students went last summer as well. That is a work in progress. But if you have interest, you're praying about it, like, hey, I would like to know a little bit more, you can email us, office@fbcfriendswood.org, or you go on the website to our missions page. You can find out a little more detail about it there. But begin praying about those opportunities because God calls us to start in Jerusalem, which is for us, Friendswood in this area, Galveston County, Harris County, Brazoria County, and move out Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth to take the gospel. And so we want to do that both locally and globally. So begin praying about those things. Well, I hope you found Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be in there today. And the very first line of that last song we sang is kind of the theme for today and the theme really for the next 10 weeks. As I've searched everywhere to find fulfillment in life, and it's challenging, it's tough, it's hard. Truthfully, it's impossible. And Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, is known as the wisest person to ever live. And he writes this book to gather, that's what Ecclesiastes means, to gather the assembly. He's gathering the assembly of the nation and helping them understand what is really the meaning of life. Where is the place that I need to look for fulfillment and purpose and joy? Because he's in a unique place to be able to do that based on his position in life, based on his wealth, and based on who he is as king of Israel. And so I want to invite you, we're going to read several passages today kind of throughout our time. So I want to invite you to begin. We're going to be in chapter 1, verse 12. And we're going to look at three big subjects: wisdom, pleasure, and work. And we're going to look at wisdom first. Here's what Solomon says. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but striving after the wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Yay. That was my addition to this passage. Don't look in your Bible for it. So here he is, Solomon, king of Israel, the wisest man to ever live and one of the wealthiest people to ever live. And he says, okay, I'm going to use my position to evaluate, to investigate, explore every aspect of human life. And I'm going to narrow it down to kind of three big areas, the search for wisdom and knowledge and understanding, to seek pleasure in the good things in life, and work. And as we look at those three things today, he's going to come to the conclusion that none of this is joyous. Rather, it's a heavy burden. It's an unpleasant task. It's an unhappy business. That life is just tough and difficult and hard. It's like chasing after the wind. And yesterday, unbeknownst to him, one of our sons, when Brandy and I were leaving, was in our garage, and he walked out with the giant, it's a long, slender tube, and inside of it was a wand. And that wand was dipped in what we know as bubble juice, you know, to make bubbles out of. That's the technical term. And he began to wave, and he blew bubbles at us as we're back at it. We don't know why. And he didn't even know that this was going to be a part of the sermon today. Bubbles were going to be a part of the sermon today, but they were. And so here he is blowing the bubbles, and occasionally he had swatted a couple as they flew by, because it was a little windy yesterday. But I think about that when I think about Solomon saying, all of this wisdom, all this joy, all this pleasure, all this work is like chasing after the wind. We kind of get that idea because we can't see the wind, but blowing bubbles is a great illustration. Have you ever watched a young child when you're out there with a little tiny bubble maker and they're trying to swat at those bubbles and they'll get one or two, but inevitably there's that one. And you knew it when you were a kid or even today. As a teenager or an adult, you're like, there's always that one that gets away from you. And you run after it like a madman or madwoman, and you can't get it. And you're just hoping and praying, please pop so I can say I hit it. That's what he's saying. This pursuit of wisdom is like chasing bubbles in the wind. It's a fruitless effort. Or perhaps you've walked out of a grocery store, department store, or maybe you've been in a parking lot somewhere and you pulled your wallet out and you opened it up for some reason, and because the wind was blowing that day, a receipt or something fell out. Or maybe after school, you're in the parking lot, you're trying to put your stuff away, and the wind blows and your papers start going along the parking lot, and then you look like a crazy lunatic trying to chase that dumb thing down. And then as soon as you bend over, it hasn't been windy all day. And then as soon as you bend over, 40-mile-an-hour gust comes and takes whatever it is away. It's like the futility of that. That's what he's getting at. Like, that's a modern illustration of what Solomon's getting at when it comes to, like, the wisdom of the world is like chasing the wind. The crooked things can't be made straight. There's not enough of whatever it is to fill the buckets of my life. What's lacking cannot be counted. There's not enough stuff to fill the bucket. And so as he begins this strange journey, this journey for wisdom and understanding, as he begins this journey for fulfillment and purpose, he starts with wisdom. And he comes to the conclusion that wisdom simply highlights our limited understanding of life. Like, the pursuit of human wisdom only highlights how much we don't know and how much we don't understand, how much we don't get. Because he looks back over his life of making decisions, and he realizes that his wise decision-making was no better than the madman. No better than the one who lived in folly. The one that just went with the wind. It was no better. It was striving after them. It was chasing after the wind. And rather than his wisdom and knowledge and understanding bringing purpose and fulfillment, no, it just brings vexation, which is anguish and frustration. It just brings sorrow. Like, I know more to only learn that I don't know enough. And I'll never know enough. There's a great commercial on TV that talks about how the value of education is important. And at the end, you know, it comes across, the more you know. Well, Solomon said, the more you know, the worse off you are. Now, that's not an excuse to quit school, okay? So, just in case you're wondering, education's important. But the point is, we never know enough. The point is, we never know enough. And if we're simply relying on human wisdom, human understanding, it will not fulfill us. It won't fill the bucket. It won't make life straight. Because true peace in life cannot be found in human wisdom. Peace in your life and in my life will not be found through more knowledge, through more textbooks, through more self-help books. It won't happen. True peace isn't found in human wisdom. And so he says, okay, well, if I can't find it in human knowledge and human understanding, maybe there's another avenue. Maybe there's another course. Maybe there's another path for me to take. And so he switches to pleasure. He says, okay, if it's not human wisdom and understanding, maybe pleasure and just being happy will be great. And so look with me at chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this was also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. My heart still guided me with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. And so what he does is he then goes on to explain all the things that he did to try to bring pleasure and joy and happiness to his life. He started with wine. That got him nowhere. And then he's like, I built houses and had houses everywhere. Then I had women, and he had lots of them, which was a real big mistake in his life. He built gardens. I mean, that's true. Like, he messed up. They didn't satisfy, and they shouldn't have. He built gardens and parks. Can you imagine? Not just like you have your house and your yard, but you actually built a park for yourself. That's pretty cool. Like, that'd be amazing. Some of you might have a cool park with amusement rides and roller coasters and stuff. They didn't have that back then. But he built gardens and parks. He gathered silver and gold. He had wealth beyond imagination. He could get anything he wanted, and truly, he just about did. It was all meaningless. It was worthless. We have the same thing today. Now, we may not be hoarding silver and gold. We may not have a park named after us. But we have things like retail therapy. And so we go and we try to buy shoes or clothes to help us feel better about ourselves, to feel happy. We have things like 12 hours on TikTok for however long we get to keep it, or Instagram, or Facebook, or maybe yours is not social media and videos. Maybe yours is the stock market or athletics or Hallmark movies. I don't know. And you do anything. And those are what we would call maybe the safe choices. There's also some dangerous choices that Solomon got mixed up into, and we would call those sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? Those are our typical, those are the bad pleasures. Because oftentimes we hear the word pleasure, we automatically go to those kinds of themes. But that's not just what he's talking about. He's talking about the things that bring you happiness in life, that make you feel good, that give you sort of an escape. He's like, I tried all that. I signed up for the 16 travel credit cards so I could go to Italy for $5.40. 32,000 miles. Like, I did that, and it got me nowhere. Because the truth is, gaining every pleasure still leaves your soul empty. Because we were never meant to fill the void of our life, to fill our bucket with pleasure. And so it's still going to leave us empty. He says, I did it all, and I can just tell you from experience, it doesn't satisfy. It's all vanity. Laughter, it's mad. We'd say laughter is good medicine, which it is, good for your heart. But like he's pointing out that if you're just living life for folly and fun, you're going to miss out on something very important. And so if it's not wisdom and it's not pleasure, then surely it's work, because God created work. He created us to work. And so maybe I should work. And look what he says. Turn the page, maybe at least in my Bible, to verse 18. Look down there at chapter 2, verse 18. If it's not wisdom and it's not pleasure, then maybe it's work. Maybe if we're productive and we actually accomplish something, there'll be something good come from that. Look what he says in verse 18. Right out of the gate. I hated all my toil. If you don't like the word toil, use work, okay? I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. We don't like those people. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? What does he have to show for it? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. And this is where the story changes. There is nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and striving after the wind. And so Solomon, looking at wisdom and pleasure, turns to work. And the truth is, he hated to work. He hated his work. Because in some way, he got a sense that not just he, but maybe others found their identity in work. And the truth is, work is a gift from God, but it's not where we find our identity. We do not find our identity in our work. It is a great gift of God, but it's not the place where you find your identity. It's what you do. It's not who you are. And Solomon recognized that for someone to give 40, 50, 60 hours a week for 35 to 50 years of their life for something, sometimes it's difficult to separate those two ideas. That my work is who I am. Because unfortunately, there's going to come a day when you're going to hand that work off to somebody else. And who knows if that somebody else is a wise person or a foolish person. Because you have no control. And worse, there's going to be some people out there who get a lot of great things and who receive the benefit of work and do nothing. They do nothing. They just get to receive the hard work of others. They inherit the gain from labor. But then something changes in Solomon's mindset. He recognizes that simply knowing more of human wisdom and knowledge, simply by having more fun, by working harder, those aren't really the purposes of life. There's something different. There's something better. Because wisdom, pleasure, and work cannot bring satisfaction. Those things can't bring satisfaction, but there is one who can. Only God brings satisfaction. And so finally, nearly two chapters in, I mean, he's at the end of chapter two, even though he didn't have chapters, we do. I mean, he's well into his story over and over again. And this story, I'm sure, got told time and time and time again, because ancient Israel, they were in an oral culture. We're a written culture. And so that's why there's so much repetition in the scripture, because they told stories over and over and over again. That's how they remembered them. You've got that in your own life. There's a story or two from your life that every time you're at a party, a gathering, a family event, whatever, it's your go-to story. When someone tells a story, you're like, well, you know what? I've got something too. You try to one-up them with your story. We've all got that. That's the book of Ecclesiastes over and over and over again, reminding us of where our satisfaction comes from. There's only one place, and that's God. Our only hope is in God. And so in verse 24, there's nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. But the only way that happens is from the hand of God. The only way. It's God who gives us purpose for our work. It's Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who brings us fulfillment. We say this verse a lot around here because it's our mission statement, John 10:10, that he came to bring life and life abundant, life to the full. Like only he can bring life to the full. The enemy tries to steal and kill and destroy. This world is not really for you. It's against you. Even though you think it might be, it's not. Only Christ brings fulfillment. That's where we find enjoyment and purpose. That's when we can find rest and peace. Because the world is looking to human wisdom. And that human wisdom God calls foolishness. Even in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, Paul writes that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And that God is going to use the foolishness of Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection. He's going to use the foolishness of the power of forgiveness to the cross. He's going to use that foolishness to shame the wisdom of the world. And so if you and I want to understand wisdom and purpose and hope and understand what it means to really have joy and fulfillment, we need to look to Jesus. We need to turn our attention to God and God alone. Because he is the one who gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. He's the one who fills the void. He brings meaning to the meaningless. He brings purpose. And we get to experience the fullness of God through Christ Jesus. And so you can enjoy your work. You don't have to hate it. You may not love it, but God's put you there for a reason. Not so that you can make money to buy a great house and live in a great city and have a great family. No, he's giving you that opportunity so that you can find fulfillment in him and him alone. That's why the scripture over and over says that we work not unto men, but unto God. So I don't go every day to the office or to school or to my place of business because those people are so awesome. And they're finding, I'm getting wholeness because of them. No, I go because God has given me the gifts, the ability, the talent to go and do something specific and unique and give me an opportunity to share my fulfillment with them because my crooked life has been made straight by the power of Christ. My bucket has been filled because Jesus Christ gives me life and life abundant. And so I get to share that. That's my purpose. That's the thing that fills me. And so we can enjoy our work. We can laugh and it be good medicine. We can be hopeful when everyone else is hopeless. And we can live with joy despite our circumstances. That's the entire message of Ecclesiastes. So don't stop coming. But over and over and over again, Solomon is going to point us to the folly of the world and the wisdom of God. It's a message that we need to have repeated to us over and over and over again, because the world bombards us with its wisdom and knowledge and pleasure. And God's put us here, put you and me here, to help people exchange that wisdom and pleasure and knowledge and work for the fullness of Christ, for the hope that he offers. And so we don't have to worry about chasing the wind, stomping on the receipt, or popping the bubble. We can live with hope and joy, because that effort is exhausting. It's misery. And the Lord points us in a new direction. Through the person of Jesus Christ, he is our hope. He is our joy. He is our purpose. He is the one who brings us purpose and joy. And so my encouragement for you today is to look to Jesus and Jesus alone. Will you pray with me?